As well as the personnel file, that if the internal investigation used that, would this committee as well use that? Otherwise, you see what I'm getting at, will they have access to all that was used in the internal investigation?
Can I just jump in on that? Wouldn't we, that in a sense, we have to meet and confer on that and then come back and adopt a policy that makes that decision? So I think you should, instead of asking, you should assert what you'd like us to achieve there, I guess.
I fully expect that part of that meet and confer process will be legal representatives of the union expressing their opinions of my advice to you. So I think that'll be helpful.
Okay, but I'm just presuming that you want us to have access and ought to say that, so that then we try and get to that policy. Well, but we would have to adopt that policy subsequently.
The point I'm trying to make is for it to work, you need access to everything the internal investigation has had access to. And it's all the documents. So I guess that is the direction. Yeah.
Well, that's why I asked the earlier question. That was the intent, that the subgroup would have its full range of access as legally possible. And that's why I asked the earlier question. I thought, I don't know if we need the precise wording now, but I think, Neil, wasn't that at the heart of your motion?
Yes.
I think there the key thing to do would be that the council also avail itself of legal advice on people who dealt really in depth with this issue of access to records and so on. Because I think it is an area of expertise. And we did so well with the bond council on the assessment district. I thought we should have. No, there are other legal counsel that we should, bring if necessary. Help us on that question of what is accessible to the committee.
Ms. Yokoyama.
I still have this question about procedure. We have a city procedure established where we have internal review, and where does this fit in? Because I would think that we would allow that procedure to continue and produce its results before you would jump to investigating the prior investigation. I mean, isn't it premature?
My response, and the chief could help me on this. I feel that I have some knowledge that their investigation is on the verge of being completed, and that by the time we could adopt our new policies, meet and confer, get a committee together, that would in fact be completed. Your investigation on these allegations would be completed. Is that?
If I can guess how long that would be, yeah, it might be a correct assumption.
Well, I would like some explicit direction in that motion that it would not precede a public announcement of what the result of the internal investigation was. I just think that we set up this procedure, and I think part of this is to look at to see if the procedures work or not. So why wouldn't you let it come to fruition?
That it wouldn't precede a public announcement?
Well, that they would complete their investigation and
I think in order for us to review the investigation, they would have to be complete with their investigation, which I think is pending. I'm not certain that the police chief, he may want to hear the assessment of this task force as to the thoroughness of the investigation. I'm not sure that we're going to require him to make a public pronouncement before we start investigating.
The city manager and I would have to discuss in what form the public will be notified upon the completion of that, and if that is the most appropriate move to do.
Certainly.
No problem with that.
My belief is that his investigation has to be through in order for us to investigate it, whether or not he makes his decision based on that investigation or not, or waits until there's a review of that investigation by this task force.
I'd like that included in the motion.
That
it is this investigation or this consideration would embark or start when their investigation is completed. Because you actually were just talking about the district attorney's investigation, and I want to say that's
no.
only...
I have no problem with them finishing, but you said public pronouncement. I do have a problem with that.
Okay.
Okay, so when their investigation's through, then this committee looks at it.
Okay. So is that clear? Seconder had that understanding?
Yeah.
Also. Okay. Further discussion?
Well, I just have one comment. I don't know why, if the audience does not believe a grand jury that's picked up its peers, why they'd be, it'd be any more credibility with three council members and three women from the commission. I'm not going to support this motion. I hope it goes in the record that way. I'm not even sure, you know, if God herself would overlook this commission and these accusations. If it came back with the feeling that the officer was not guilty, that we would solve anything. I really feel that a council, as a council, you know, I know there are some serious accusations, and I'm not trying to belittle that in any way, but I do feel that we have an excellent police force, that the officer is innocent until proven guilty, and I think that investigation is underway. And I think whether you agree with that verdict or not, it's been to the district attorney and a grand jury committee, and I think that how far do you go with this? How many times does an individual have to go through these accusations? I mean, how many different bodies before it stops? And I feel for the officer, and I feel for the women too, but I think that somewhere we've got a system that's set up that's supposed to be justice, and I think that we just keep prolonging it. And it's not happening here. And that's why.
You gotta have a rocking
team
before you act.
How many women have to report it? How many women?
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Coonerty, I think I can speak for the majority of the people in the room.
You may not speak for the... Sherry.
When we ask that there be a deadline set for the time that this special body will come back with a report to council, this cannot go on for another 8 months, Neil. The thing that you're outlining right now could well go on for another 8 months unless you establish a firm deadline by which your staff is going to give you their final report. You'll be able to go ahead with your process and bring that back to council. It's critical that we hear that from you here tonight, as well as what will Officer Baker be doing during that time.
I think given this unique situation, and given the situation that we have to appoint the council members, appoint the members from the commission, that we have not even looked to see what level the investigative material is at, that it's very hard for us to say that it'll take 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I thought in my presentation of the idea that we said it was very important that this proceed in a very timely fashion. And I think that is important, and I think that we ought to proceed with all due haste to get some level of satisfaction out of this. We are not going to be able to satisfy everybody. So outside of the fact that, you know, this is something that we're creating that is unprecedented, we don't know how long this is. We don't know what level of materials, how many pages they have to review. We don't know how long their debate is. I do not want to squash a serious look at this investigation. I also want the council to vote to give the full intent to that task force that they proceed as quickly and as timely as can be and get this back to us as soon as possible. But there's no way to know what the level is, and I'm not willing to speak to Officer Baker's position in the police department at this time before I'm able to look at any of this.
Timeline for progress report.
Ms. Myers.
Well, I just wonder if we could ask Chief Bassett another question. Is it reasonable, though, to get a date in which you, a ballpark date, 2 weeks, 1 week, and then maybe we can at least set some kind of a guideline timetable? The committee will be set up by a certain date. First week, could you answer that?
My work left is not the time issue. I mean, I think that about a month, month and a half, we'll be able to bring ours to the end. But there's some unknowns to this process that range from how extensive any other review might be, any issues that may go to lawsuit. There's a lot of stuff involved, and so in setting timelines, you should consider all of the possible ramifications.
I'm sorry, my question was just, do you have a sense of when you'll just be through with the
month,
month and a half, perhaps?
A what?
Month to month. A month and a half, perhaps, if nothing new comes in.
Well, you want to try?
9 months.
I would, if I could just speak,
let's try
to
and
the
define
motion.
It, because I think we can address that.
Well, I was just going to speak to the motion. I still think the best thing for the community is an external investigator. I will support this. Obviously, there isn't the support to go the other direction. I think it would behoove us to have gone that way. The only one thing I want to clarify, because it's going to come up later, is an external, and this is just a specific response to, because I left it kind of vague, is an investigator would not be making the recommendation what would happen. What is going to happen, and which I'm very pleased about, is the council is taking ownership of this situation, and we have got to be held accountable for it, and that is good in either way. And in no way was an investigator, we were going to shift that. We were just going to have the luxury of hearing from an investigator, unbiased, who would come forth, and we, to us, then we would turn that into a recommendation. So I just want to clarify that. Again, I will support the motion. I'm sorry it isn't the other. I would like to ask the maker of the motion if they would add a clause in which the officer would be relieved of any public duty during this period.
I'm not willing to do that.
You know, I just want to say, even though I have sort of my personal feelings about that appropriateness of that, but in light of what the city charter, which was just read to us, said, I think it would be, I'm not willing to commit a misdemeanor and give that direction in this situation. The council doesn't seem to have that authority.
I caution
us all on that.
Maybe my choice of words is not right. I was just, that we would strongly suggest to the chief of police that he take that into consideration.
Yeah.
We suggest to the city manager that he suggest to them.
Yeah. All right.
Right. That we can do. Technically, I've got it right now.
Okay. So I did, the maker of the motion didn't accept that in the motion. I don't know if you want to pursue it beyond that.
I think that one of the reasons I didn't accept it is that I do think that at this juncture that we are trying to take a serious look at this investigation, take these charges seriously and really take a look at them. And I do think that if there is a time when it's good for the community to back off on this. I think that the police department should not be reading into this that there's some sort of questioning of their abilities and you know, that they feel paranoid over this decision. I don't think that other people should feel that this is some sort of step towards a civilian review board. That will be decided at another time, another date. I think these are serious allegations, and in fairness to the alleged victims, in fairness to the policeman who's been accused, I think it's time for us to back off a little bit, to take a look at this, to take and take a serious look. I think that the people that we've appointed to the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Towards Women, I think the council members that you've elected are taking ownership in one way, and they're going to take a hard look at this. And they understand your anger. They understand your anxiety about this. They understand a lot of the feelings that are in this room about this. But we have to look at this on the merits of the case. These are real people. The women involved, they should be taken in full credibility. The policeman involved, he should be taken in full credibility and really take a hard look at this. And I hope that you'll give us enough room to be able to address this situation.
Okay, we'll proceed to a vote if there's no further discussion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Okay, motion carries 5-2 with Mahaney and Rittenhouse voting nay.
The moment they're accused, police get promoted until the investigation starts.
The council will be in recess for 10 minutes.
You're here.
And that was only one part of the July 28, 1991 City Council meeting, which initiated the Butchie Baker investigation that event that was quietly closed behind closed doors within a couple of weeks, according to the account of Sherry Connable, who was in town at the time. I think I was probably not. Baker was shortly afterward exonerated by three different investigations, all from essentially police-friendly agencies, the DA, the internal review process of Chief Bassett's SCPD, and I believe it was either a grand jury or a state police agency or oversight agency. But in any case, Baker continued his reign of abuse, because I think that's really an appropriate description of the things he did subsequently. The only lawsuit that I really won in terms of any financial return from the city was against officer and then sergeant Lauren Butchie Baker in 2002, when he falsely arrested me, a whole series of false arrests involving First Amendment activities, trying to keep the farmers market open to flyers who wanted to give out literature, who wanted to keep the drum circle going, wanted to keep allowing those with a countercultural appearance to be able to freely flyer, freely display their wares nearby on the sidewalk, and distribute literature about events that were happening, something that Janet Blazer, the person who was running the farmers market until she was essentially dumped by the board because she initiated unlawful citizen arrests, and Sergeant, I think he was then a sergeant at that time, Baker, this was in 2001, carried out those arrests, and it was against me that those arrests were carried out because I was the one distributing flyers. But also, he would unnecessarily take me into custody, take me to the police department, hold me in a squad car. As a sort of assertion of power, I was never brutalized by Butchie Baker, or Sticky Fingers Butchie, as we called him, in honor of his behavior toward women, because we believed the women, not the shutdown cover-up of the that was supposedly in the investigation. Baker was finally, shot dead in a bungled police raid, which, along with his colleague Elizabeth Butler, who was also nobody to homeless people. Baker was notorious for harassing homeless people repeatedly who were simply engaged in First Amendment activity or simply survival behavior such as sleeping at night. He would go after people who were engaged in political protests, particularly at the post office homeless table, which went on from November of 1989, right after the earthquake, through the summer of 1990, when the activities of that group were preempted by a group called the Coalition for a Safe Place to Sleep, who divided the homeless community with the sort of the liberal gentrification attempt to saying, look, you all go home, get rid of your protesting, and we'll find you a nice solution. But even though they attempted to do it, there was a vote at City Council. They were voted down 5-2 to establish what really would have been a token safe place to sleep, but might not have been a bad idea. It was an idea floated by Sherry Connable and Margaret Marr, to their credit. And they later went on to work on establishing a Citizens Police Review Board, inviting strong and accurately speaking powerful speakers from San Francisco, from the Northern California ACLU. But the eventual board, which was delayed further by people like Scott Kennedy, who was originally seemed to be a supporter of it, but eventually turned out a pro-police privilege type board, which really went nowhere except in the last year of its existence in 2002, when it began to look into racial and class profiling and use of force and other important issues that it had long neglected, at which point, of course, it was immediately dismantled by the Matthews, Rotkin, Fitzmaurice city majority at that time. So that's some of the history of and the reason for this particular flashback, so to speak. It's not, again, not a flashback to an actual show, but I think it's an important document for people who have a historical interest in this. And also people who are caring about what's going on now in the police department to understand how entrenched and long-standing these abuses are, and that they will not be solved by sweet words and a knee, taking a knee by Justin Cummings and Andy Mills, or declaring they're not doing chokeholds and so forth, which they've said before. They still continue to do pain compliance, pepper spray, tear gas, bear cat, SWAT team stuff, huge amounts of over-policing that is very dangerous to people, particularly in an era where if you get arrested and put in jail, you are likely more likely to suffer COVID-19, as New York protesters are finding out, which you would have heard if you'd listened to the beginning of this broadcast. It's a real crisis, a crisis of the imposition of martial law, which has always been the case for poor people, but is now becoming, it's becoming more fashionable, widespread, accepted, and it's something that we need to fight. Thanks for listening.